Hey, everybody, welcome back to the podcast for the Million Dollar Man, talking about intimacy again. I'm your host, Rhonda Farr, and today we're specifically talking about happiness in marriage. I want you to think back to when you were dating. Were you happy? Think back to what you thought marriage was going to be like. How much intimacy you thought you were going to have, what that would be like to just wake up together every morning, to go to bed together every night, no rules, just being able to do what you want to. What was that like? Can you even remember? Most of us think marriage is this institution that is going to somehow complete us or fulfill our dreams that we've had since we were a small child. I don't think this is anybody's fault. We come by this honestly through media, through church culture, all the things. I think when we're kids, we miss a lot of what our parents had to go through that was actually really hard. But here's what I want to offer today. Marriage is not an institution that generally creates happiness within us. It's not an institution that will, in general, offer us a stable or a more stable sense of self. It's just not. That isn't to say that there isn't often happiness found in marriage. It definitely can be, and hopefully there is some happiness in marriage, but it's just that marriage itself is a place where we go and usually find those less developed parts of us. Sometimes I'll talk about marriage as like a mirror that highlights the parts of ourself that we haven't yet even realized we need to develop. What marriage actually often does is it exposes parts of us that we didn't even know were there. So I want you to think about this for a moment. What in yourself has your marriage exposed to you that you really didn't even think about before? Deepak Chopra says, when you struggle with your partner, you're struggling with yourself. Every fault you see in them touches a denied weakness in you. Do you believe that? One of the ways you'll know if you're struggling with yourself when you're having a conflict with your spouse is by asking this question. What am I asking my spouse to offer me that I haven't yet been able to offer myself? I actually think all of you should probably write this down somewhere and just keep it on speed dial, like keep this question in your back pocket, because it helps us have more honest conversations with us and more honest conversations with our spouse. Now, what does this question actually mean? Let me explain to you for a moment, just so you'll have an idea of how to use this question as a tool. Do you feel insecure about your physical body? If you do, you're probably going to be craving more words of affection or more touch to help you feel differently about yourself. Are you perhaps using physical intimacy to validate that the marriage is okay and that you're not on the verge of separation? If you do, you're probably going to get super anxious when the physical intimacy is on the rocks or when you think your partner is upset with you or doesn't agree with you on something. Are you seeking her approval of the money you earn? Or are you seeking her approval that it's okay for all the hours that you spend at work so you don't have to feel bad about missing so much or being gone away from the home so much? If you do, then you're probably going to want her to say, you know, thank you for all that you do for us. It's okay. We miss you, but we understand why you're gone. Now, her saying those things to you, that's not a bad thing, right? Like if she's offering you gratitude or if she's saying like, oh yeah, like I love the way you look, or if she's validating like, listen, our marriage is fine. I love you so much. Even when we disagree, it's fine. Like none of that is bad. The problem comes in when we have to have her say that so that we feel okay. What that means is we're asking her to offer us something that we haven't yet come to terms with and been able to offer ourselves. Hopefully that makes sense for you. Now, for each one of you listening, that might show up a little bit differently. It might come in a different flavor. It might be something else that you want her to validate for you. But can you see how in each situation, we have something that we're not 100% solid about, and then we want our partner to let us know that in whatever way it is that we feel unstable, we want our partner to tell us that we're okay. Now listen, you're both complicit in this dynamic. I'm not blaming you and I'm not blaming her. You're both doing it. When you think she can solve an internal problem, you're feeling, and she thinks she can say or do something in the right way to make you feel better, you're both participating. And honestly, guys, it probably in some way does feel like a sense of control for her to think, okay, if I just say this right, or if I can figure out the right way to respond for him, he's going to calm and he won't lose his crap on me or whatever, right? Or he won't sulk and be whiny for a few days. That feels for her like a sense of control as well. So it's not just you. You both have learned to do this. You're playing off of an exposed weakness in each other. So your exposed weakness invites her to people please you or to fawn and maybe not ruffle your feathers. What's the problem in doing this? At first, you might feel like, oh yeah, this really works because she's happy to give me that validation or whatever. But I promise you, over time, this is going to run out. And most of you know that already. You're both going to become exhausted and it's going to create resentment in both of you. Other people cannot solve your internal problems. You guys are going to get tired of me saying this, and I'll probably say it a million times in a bunch of different ways throughout the entirety of this podcast. But trying to force someone else to solve your internal problems will make you both crazy. You're going to feel so frustrated, so tired, so stuck, and like a sense of no autonomy in the relationship anymore. Also, breaking this pattern will feel very uncomfortable too at first. She's probably going to be very leery of not people-pleasing you. She's going to feel very leery that she will become a disappointment to you, and perhaps she's going to think you're not going to choose her anymore. She's going to be very uncomfortable for what your emotions might be like when she stops trying to solve your internal problems. Which hasn't been working anyway, though. They both feel uncomfortable, right? You've heard that before. Just choose your uncomfortable. Do you want to feel uncomfortable trying to do a problem that you or solve a problem that you can't solve? Or do you want to feel uncomfortable tolerating what it feels like to work toward actual results that will work? You're probably going to feel very helpless in your position to do something to move the relationship forward. So you might find yourself flailing as you try to release the desire for her to control your emotions. When you start to give her space to choose how she wants to show up, instead of expecting her to show up to make you feel better, that's going to feel really bad for a time. You should expect that. Author Julia Cameron says in her book, The Artist's Way, at first blush, going sane feels a lot like going crazy. Close quote. You should actually feel this difference in familiarity, not comfort, but the way the relationship has worked in the past. It's become familiar, even if it's maladaptive. You should probably feel some anxiety in trying to go against that grain. The anxiety of breaking old patterns and tolerating how it feels to let your partner solve their own insecurities is real. This is why so many of us stay in these patterns. So how do we do it? How do we start? If you can get yourself to a place of just recognizing when you're hoping that she'll offer you a feeling or a confidence that you haven't yet been able to create in yourself, that is the starting line. So just go ahead and ask yourself, like, where am I hoping she's going to make me feel better? And even if you're only able to notice it in hindsight at first, so for example, like if you know, like, okay, I am trying to get her to validate that it's okay for me to look a certain way. Maybe you've got a little pooch or a dad bod. I'm just making something up here. And maybe you're feeling like, dang, she's not desiring me as much. I wish she would just grab my butt the way I want to grab her butt or whatever. If you're like, okay, I notice that I do that. And her lack of physical touch toward me is something that I'm hoping will make me feel better about myself. At first, you might do it and like really want her to solve that problem for you without recognizing it in the moment. But even if you're able to notice it in hindsight, like, crap, I feel a little sulky and down. I did that again today. What you can do is start to confront yourself in the moment when you recognize it. Just start being honest about it whenever you notice it. You probably are not going to catch it at first, and that's okay. The more you're able to confront yourself, the more you're also going to be able to communicate it to her. You can make apologies if necessary and appropriate, but you're going to be able to communicate to her more honestly. I'm so sorry. I was trying to rope you into validating me again. I was trying to get you to help me find my sense of self again. I'm really trying not to do that, but this is something that I've repeated for so long, it's really hard to stop. You guys, that is being honest and knowable. You can say, like, oh, it's true for me to say, hey, I wish you'd touch me more. Hey, I wish you'd compliment my body more. That's true, and that's all fine and good. But what's more honest is saying, I feel really unstable about my own body, and I noticed I've been trying to rope you in to helping me feel better about that. That's not really how I want to operate, but it's really hard for me to stop. Can you see the difference in those two things? We may never fully develop the skill of not roping others into our emotional well-being. I think it's very human of us to want to do that. It's a lifelong pursuit for most of us to not keep doing that. However, it's also one of the most important things that we can do that opens us up to connecting more intimately with our partners as we at least try to develop this muscle. Luckily, it doesn't have to be perfect, you guys. I'm not actually perfect at this myself. Surprise, surprise. But the more moments of self-actualization, the more space you give her to choose you. The more space she has to choose you, the more desired you will start feeling because you're going to map that in her. She's actually desiring me, not feeling forced or coerced into pretending she wants me. This will be freedom for both of you, even if it feels very unsettling at first. It feels unsettling because we like to pretend we have control. In some way, it kind of keeps us busy trying and feeling like we're being useful. But we just cannot control anyone else. We can't. Even if we do succeed in manipulating their behaviors, we cannot control their desire for us, which is what most of us want. And you'll feel that. You'll be able to track the lack of desire and the lack of choosing from her, even if she follows through with the behavior you wanted. Most of you know that. You felt that. David Snarsh taught, the more validation you need, the less validation you're able to receive. Instead of making others responsible for your feeling better, I want you to start practicing actually just communicating how you feel. Practice being knowable instead of trying to coerce her into making you feel better. Hey, I'm feeling kind of crappy today about my self-image. This is not your problem. I sometimes get a little insecure when you're not all touchy-feely and complimenting me. I'm just having a day. You're not communicating to change her. You're not communicating to solve anything. You're just becoming knowable. You guys, this is the first step to intimacy. It's not the sexy part of intimacy that we're hoping for, but I promise you it is the doorway to more. Diego Perez, pen name Young Pueblo, writes, together you can learn the importance of communicating where you are on your emotional barometer. Letting each other know when you feel heavy emotions can prevent unnecessary arguments or blaming. The unpopular truth is that building harmony in a relationship takes time. As soon as both people begin their inner work, it doesn't immediately make the relationship better because self-awareness doesn't mature overnight. Close quote. You guys, it's definitely not something that we're going to perfect overnight, but I promise you, there is freedom in letting others off the hook for your happiness and learning how to just communicate what is real and what is true, letting them know where you're at. If this is the freedom that you're looking for, get on my calendar. Learn more about how I can help you individually, how we can work together one-on-one. We do this work over time. I walk right beside you, supporting you along the way, helping you recognize these areas in your relationship where Maybe you're not quite developed. And I don't say that to be condescending. I say that to offer most of us are not. But what a beautiful gift it is to be able to recognize that in yourself and then allow someone to walk beside you as you learn how to create different patterns in yourself and in your marriage. All right, guys, click the link below if you want to talk to me, and I will be back next week for more.